What are you saying? Tell me. Having already discussed that the gift of speaking in tongues is unprofitable and superfluous if there's no interpreter, are you suggesting we continue to speak in tongues? He replies, I'm not commanding, nor am I prohibiting, similar to when he says, if any non-believers invite you to a feast and you want to go, it's not a law that compels you to go, just not preventing you. So is the same here. And let him speak to himself and to God. If they can't stand to be silent but are ambitious and arrogant, let them speak alone. The act of permitting this adequately checks them and makes them feel ashamed. A tactic he uses elsewhere when discussing marital relations and saying, but I say this because of your lack of self-control. But this wasn't his approach when discussing prophecy. So how did he go about it? With an authoritative tone and legislation, let the prophet speak, two or three. Nowhere here does he request an interpreter, nor does he silence the prophet as he did earlier, saying, if there's no interpreter, let him remain quiet, since in truth someone speaking in tongues alone is insufficient. So if anyone has both gifts, let them speak. But if they don't, but still want to speak, let them do so with the help of an interpreter. For the prophet is an interpreter, but of God, you are of man. But if there is no interpreter, let him remain quiet, for nothing should be done unnecessarily or out of ambition. Only let him speak to himself and to God. That means silently or quietly, at least if he wants to speak. For this doesn't sound like a law, but more like a way to shame them even more with his permission. Similar to how he says, but if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home. And seeming to give permission, but critiques them even more sharply. For you don't gather for the purpose, he says, of showing off your gifting, but to edify the listeners. Which he previously stated, let everything done be for edification.